So today is Palm Sunday, and I wonder why we call today Palm Sunday. And the answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? We call it Palm Sunday because it's the day, 6 days before Good Friday, when Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. The people, of course, came out onto the streets and they had cut down palm branches and they waved those palm branches, much as today if the Queen were to come to our country and to travel through the streets, children would be out waving flags. So the waving of palm branches was a national symbol in Israel at that time. And it was simply a sign of welcome, a sign of good wishes, and a sign also, as we're told here, of people shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The question, however, is why? Is that it? Is it just a cutesy story for you and for me to read at this time of year and to do so just before we start to eat our Easter eggs? Is that all it's about? Because surely it must be about more than that. I want to give you three things that the riding on the donkey is actually about. And the first thing is this. Jesus rode on a donkey to correct people's expectations of him. You see, the Jews at that time were expecting a political Messiah. They were expecting someone like Judas Maccabeus, who 160 years beforehand had led an uprising against the authorities and tried to establish an independent Jewish homeland. The Jews had been waiting for such a figure to come. In those days, coins had been minted with palm branches on those coins to signify freedom and victory over the oppressor. And so when the people came and they shouted for Jesus, it was a hope of theirs that this time would be the Messiah. And Jesus rode on a donkey to correct those expectations. Notice he didn't come on a chariot. The Romans, when they came in triumph, would have ridden maybe golden chariots. They would have ridden war horses, stallions with flared nostrils and prancing animals in the street as a sign of power and authority. But here is a king who comes on a donkey, a humble donkey, correcting people's expectations that he hasn't come to establish a political kingdom. And for any of us ever to hitch the wagon of the gospel to a political cause, we've done the wrong thing. God is bigger than any political cause, whatever that cause may be, whatever that country may be, God is bigger. And we've always got to be careful that we don't hitch our God to our own political cause. So Jesus rode that donkey into the city of Jerusalem in order to correct people's expectations of him. He also rode into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey to confirm his identity as God's anointed one. You see, there had been a prophecy lying some 500 years on the books, as it were, from a prophet called Zechariah. Back in the Old Testament, in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, John actually quotes it here in John chapter 12. "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt." There was expectation that this Messiah would come, that this Messiah would ride into the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus rides the donkey into the city of Jerusalem, confirming his identity as the anointed one, as the one that God has set aside, the one that God has appointed to come. And Jesus is happy to do so, because what Jesus is about is nothing, it's not a novelty. It's not something new or something that's been thought up on the spur of the moment. The mission of Christ is a mission that has been coming through history. It's all the streams are coming together and they're meeting now on the head of Christ. And here he comes, and he comes riding on a donkey in order to confirm his identity as God's anointed one, the one whom God has set apart for this special task of as his son, as his Messiah, the one upon whom the Spirit of God rests in power and in authority. And then the third reason Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey was to convert us from our sin. You see, we lived lives, the essence of sin is pride, where we believe that we know better than God. The essence of sin is thinking I can do whatever I like and no one has the right to correct me, or no one has the right to convince me otherwise. I am master of my soul. I am the one who is in charge of my life and I'll do whatever I want. That's the language of pride, and we're born in sin, says the psalmist, and we're shapen in iniquity. We are born in sin, and that's something we can do nothing about. We can't help the way we are born. But then also, not just are we born in sin, but we live in sin. All of our lives, every single one of us, no child is taught how to sin. It grows up a sinner. Every single last child, we're all sinners. And we die sinners as well if God does not intervene in our lives in a powerful, regenerating way. Jesus spoke to the Jews and he warned them about this. He said, you will die in your sins. What an awful thing to die in your sins. And Jesus spoke to the Jews in those terms, warning them, trying to reason with them. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And Jesus tried to reason with these Jews, to call to these Jews to turn from their sin and to believe on him as the Saviour, the one who had come into the world to take away the sin of the world. And so the Saviour came to convert us from our sin. The week began in a very humble way. The week began with the Saviour riding this donkey into the city of Jerusalem, but then it ends in a very humble way. Because on Good Friday, Jesus is crucified on a cross. The death by crucifixion that the Romans practiced was only practiced upon those who were slaves, or those who were non-Jews, kind of under peoples. The Romans were keen to impose humiliation. And the Bible talks about Jesus Christ facing death, even death on a cross. This was the death that very many people in polite society wouldn't even have mentioned. And Jesus took upon himself willingly that death upon the cross so that we could be saved from our sins, so that we could discover what it means to know him and to serve him and to receive from him the gift of eternal life through the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus came to convert us from our sin. And the riding on the donkey was the beginning of that. It was leading to the cross on the Good Friday, whenever the humility would once again be very much on display, the sacred humility of Christ, who said to his people at the very beginning of his ministry, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Not blessed are the proud, not blessed are the arrogant, but blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And how did the people respond to all of this? Well, the people responded to all of this, we're told, as we come to a conclusion today, in three ways. There were those who were his critics, those who saw it. We can read the words just prior to this. Because he had raised Lazarus from the dead, they determined not just to kill Christ, but also to kill Lazarus. It's amazing when religious people allow religion to rule their hearts and not God to rule their hearts, how they become bitter and fanatical and even prepared to commit crime in God's name, even to break God's law in God's name. Those were the critics of Jesus, and there's critics today now also. People who will perhaps criticize the church for not getting involved, and they'll say they're just hypocrites. And then if they do get involved, they'll criticize and they'll say, huh, they're just do-gooders. But the critics of Jesus still exist to this day, and the critics of the people of God. There weren't just critics, there were also those as well who were very much confused, and those were the disciples. They were watching on and they didn't understand why Jesus rode on a donkey. Only later, whenever he was raised to glory, did they understand the fulfillment of the Zechariah prophecy. Many people today likewise are confused about Jesus. It's not that they're against him, but they're confused. Should they be for him or should they be against him? What are we to make of this Jesus person? And many today are confused about him. And many today are sitting on the fence, not really willing to make up their minds. And again, that's just the way it was in the time of Jesus riding on the donkey. But lastly, there were those who were convinced by Jesus. There were the critics, there were the confused, but then there were the convinced, because the religious leaders watching on that day, they said this, "See how the whole world has gone after him." And that's a lovely statement. They said it in fury. "See how the whole world has gone after him." But they never said a truer word, as someone once said, many's a true word is spoken in jest. See how the whole world has gone after him. Let me finish by asking the question today. Have you gone after him? Here is the Savior who came into the world, who rode on a donkey. He rode on a donkey to correct people's wrong understanding. He rode on a donkey to convince us that he is God's man, come in humility to convert us from our sin. But have you received him as your Lord and as your Savior? Have you turned to him? Have you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ? For if you do so, you will be saved. Saved from empty, false religion, brought into a true, peaceful relationship with God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, discovering the forgiveness of your sins and what it means to walk with him, have as your shepherd, as your guard, as your guide, day by day. The one who said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." So today is Palm Sunday, and I've given you three reasons why we should believe and accept this Palm Sunday message. And may it be said of you, see how this man, see how this woman has gone after him. Because to follow Jesus Christ is the greatest walk of all. And I urge you to do that today if you haven't already done so. And if you have done so, to show it by the humility of your life as you follow the Christ who rode upon a donkey.